It's the time and place for commission consideration of three separate rate applications filed by Questar Gas Company with proposed specific rate changes to be effective November 1st, 2014. The first application is in docket 14-057-22 in the matter of the pass-through application of Questar Gas Company for an adjustment in rates and charges for natural gas service in Utah. The second application is in docket number 14-057-23 in the matter of the application of Questar Gas Company to amortize the conservation enabling tariff balancing account. And finally, the third application is in docket number 14-057-24 in the matter of the application of Questar Gas Company for a tariff change and adjustment to the low income assistance energy assistance rate. My name is Jordan White. The commissioners have asked that I act as presiding officer for this hearing. With that, why don't we go ahead and take appearances? We can start over here with the office.
Rex Holtzen from the Attorney General's office on behalf of the Office of Consumer Services.
Patricia E. Schmidt with the Attorney General's office on behalf of the Division of Public Utilities.
And I'm Jennifer Clark. I'm here on behalf of Questar Gas Company.
And as I wasn't sure, I wasn't familiar with you, so I didn't know if you're an attorney.
I'd be happy to introduce both.
Yeah, sure, that would be helpful. Yeah, I know Austin, but
Mr. Summers is here, and he will be testifying to the pass-through docket.
Okay.
Mr. Jordan Stevenson is here, and he'll be speaking to the other two. And Barry McKay is here to help answer questions
should
his assistance be needed.
Perfect. Thank you. I appreciate that. Okay, before we proceed, is there any matters of housekeeping, issues of confidentiality, et cetera?
I'm aware of.
Okay, great. Okay, well, why don't we go ahead and start with the 22 docket addressing Questar's pass-through application. Ms. Clark, since this is Questar's application, why don't you go ahead and proceed?
Do we need to swear the witnesses?
Well, if you want to, let's do that, yeah.
Okay.
So do you want to raise your right hand? Do you solemnly swear that the testimony you're about to give is the whole truth and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
Mr. Summers, could you please state your name, your full name, and your business address for the record, please?
Yes, my name is Austin Summers, and my business address is 333 South State Street, Salt Lake City, Utah.
And what position do you hold with Questar Gas Company?
I am the Supervisor of Regulatory Affairs.
And did you oversee and prepare or oversee the preparation of the application and attached exhibits in docket number 14-057-22?
Yes, I did.
Do you have any corrections to this application?
I do have a correction. In continued discussions with the Division of Public Utilities, it was determined that two numbers on the first page of the written application were not calculated correctly. Though these numbers are incorrect in the narrative of the application, the rates have been calculated correctly. So if you're on the first page of the application, the first paragraph, the second line, the company asks for a decrease of $29,811,000. That amount should be $29,265,000. That amount is also incorrect on the second paragraph. On the fourth line, it's that same $29,811,000, and it should be $29,265,000.
And just so we're clear for the record, the first clarification I made, that was on page two of the application on 14-057-22. And
Same page. It's also on page two in the second paragraph.
Okay.
On the fourth line down.
Okay.
It has that same $29,811,000. And it should be $29,265,000. So it's incorrect in just those two spots.
Okay.
The rest of the rates have all been calculated correctly. So there's a $22.48 in that paragraph, $22.48. That's calculated correctly. The 2.93% decrease is calculated correctly. It's just the words are wrong.
Just blame it on your attorney. Thank you.
And that's the only correction that I have.
Thank you, Mr. Summers. Would you please summarize the company's request in this docket?
Yeah. In pass-through docket number 14-057-22, Questar Gas Company respectfully asks the Utah Public Service Commission for approval of $598,234,115 in Utah gas cost coverage. This represents an overall decrease of $29,265,000. The components of the decrease are first a decrease of $23,743,000 in commodity costs, and second, a decrease of $5,522,000 in SNG costs. Included in this request is an amortization of the commodity portion of the actual August 2014 undercollected 191 account balance of $45,111,165 by a 41.533 cents per decatherm debit surcharge. An amortization of the supplier non-gas rate was established in the company's last pass-through case to adjust the slightly over-collected SNG balance. And this amortization will remain unchanged in this docket. We used the average of forecasted gas prices from two agencies, namely Pyra Energy Group and Cambridge Energy Research Associates, to develop the cost of purchased gas. If this filing is allowed, a typical Utah GS customer using 80 decatherms per year would see a decrease of $22.48, or a total annual decrease of about 2.93%. Therefore, we request the decrease proposed in commodity and SNG rates be allowed to go into effect as filed on November 1st, 2014. And that concludes my summary.
Do you adopt the contents of the application and its attachments with those corrections you mentioned earlier as your testimony today?
Yes.
And the company would move for the admission of those.
Any objection to the admission? They're received.
Mr. Summers is available for questions.
Ms. Schmidt.
Thank you. The division's witness today will be Mr. Douglas.
Oh, sorry. I apologize.
Sorry.
Did you have? No, it's okay. No problem. Did you have any questions for Mr. Summers?
No.
Okay. No. And I'm assuming Mr. Olson. Okay, that's
no
problem. So with that, why don't we go ahead and turn to your witness, Ms. Schmidt.
Thank you. The division's witness today is Mr. Douglas Wheelwright. Could he please be sworn?
Yes, can you please raise your right hand? Do you solemnly swear that the testimony you're about to give today is the whole truth and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Could you please state your full name, business address, and work title for the record?
My name is Douglas D. Wheelwright. I'm a technical consultant with the Division of Public Utilities. My business address is 160 East, 300 South in Salt Lake City.
Have you participated on behalf of the division in this docket?
Yes, I have.
Could you please briefly describe your activities?
We did a review of the company's model and also loaded the information into our own model to verify the calculations.
Did you also participate in the preparation and filing of the division's memo dated October 17th, 2014?
Yes, I did.
Do you have any corrections to that memo?
Yes, I do. As mentioned by the company, there are two errors in the numbers identified in the application, and we replicated those numbers in my memo. On page 2 of my memo, right at the very top, we referenced that same $29,811,000 $1,000 number. It should be $29,265,000. Then on page 3, the first paragraph, third line, references that same number. Should be, instead of 29.811, should be 29.265. That's the only correction.
Do you have a summary today?
Yes, I do.
Please proceed.
Thank you. Docket number 14-057-22, the 181 pass-through docket, asks for commission approval for a $23.7 million decrease in the commodity component and a $5.7 million decrease in the supplier non-gas component of natural gas rates for a net decrease of $29.3 million. The requested reduction in the commodity cost is due to a reduction in the forward price curve for the 12-month test period ending October 31, 2015. In the current filing, it is anticipated that approximately 59% of the total gas requirement will be satisfied from the Wexpro cost of service gas production. As part of the audit and review of the 191 account, the division is reviewing the calculations and costs associated with the Wexpro production in the current and in previous 181 filings. The audit process is ongoing, and any findings will be presented to the Commission. If this docket is approved individually, a typical GS customer will realize a decrease in their annual bill of $22.48. The division recommends that the proposed rate be approved on an interim basis until a full audit of the 191 account can be completed. That concludes my summary.
You corrected one number in two places in the division's memo. Is it your testimony, however, that that correction did not affect the rates and that the rest of the calculations and rates are correct?
That is correct. Just a correction in the narrative portion.
Do you adopt as your testimony the division's memorandum and your summary as stated today?
Yes, I do.
Thank you. Mr. Wheelwright's now available for questioning.
Okay. I'm assuming, do we want to go ahead and deal with the receipt of those, the filings?
Thank you.
Okay, no problem. Any objection to the receipt of those two documents? Or I guess it's just one, right? Okay,
yes.
Perfect. They're received.
No objection.
Okay, great. Thanks. Okay, any cross for Ms., for Mr. Wheelwright?
No.
From Questar, okay, and Mr. Olson. Okay, why don't we go ahead and turn to Mr. Olson for his witness.
Thank you, Your Honor. The office's witness will be Danny Martinez.
Okay, great.
Ask that he be sworn for purposes of this.
Okay, perfect. Why don't you go ahead and raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear that the testimony you're about to give is the whole truth and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Martinez, could you state your business address, please?
Yes, my name is Danny Martinez. My business address is 160 East 300 South in Salt Lake City, Utah, 84111.
As part of your duties, did you have an opportunity to review the analysis on docket number 14-057-22?
Yes, I did.
On behalf of the office, did you file any kind of testimony?
No, I did not.
You heard the corrections made to the two figures in the narrative. Do those agree with your, did that change in any way affect your analysis of this docket?
No, it did not. I quickly reviewed the both the application and the division's memo in just the most recent few minutes as I got the correction and verified it against numbers that supported that within each document if they seemed to tie out.
And so what is the what would be your testimony regarding whether this application should be accepted?
My testimony is at this time that the company's application and should be accepted this time.
We have nothing further.
Okay. Ms. Clark, did you have any cross for?
I do not.
Ms. Schved? And so in understanding there was no filings made by the office, I guess we don't need to deal with documents, right?
That's correct. Okay. We did not file anything at this time.
Okay, great. So if it's all right with the attorneys, I plan just to, I have a few questions of my own. If it's all right, just rather than having you come up here, we'll just kind of keep you next to your attorneys and we'll just do it in panel form if that's all right. And I'll just keep you sworn in. Is that okay? All right. Why don't we go ahead and start with Mr. Wheelwright. And I'm referencing now your memo of October 17th, 2014. In that, the division identifies two factors driving the higher Wexpro 2 production costs. The first factor being the gathering costs that were, according to the division, mistakenly left out of the calculation in the previous filing. And the second being, according to the division, the fact that the original Wexpro 2 productions assumed that compression would be installed in the trail field from the date of the acquisition. Is that correct? Accurate?
Yes.
Okay. So with respect to the gathering costs, can you help me clear up a little bit of confusion? My understanding from the prior case was that the gathering costs were included in projections. Am I missing something or?
No, and this may be a question to address to the company as well. Okay. This is these were responses to our data request, and as has been explained to us in the filing, previous filing, they didn't include those gathering costs. It was just an error on from someone within the company, and they were not included in the previous filing. They are included in this filing, okay. And that's the reason for the increase.
We'll put a pin in your testimony for a second, but maybe it's just most convenient right now to turn, I guess, to the company. I guess what I'm referring to is, and I don't know if you have the application from the last filing or not, but I in one of the exhibits there, and maybe again, there's definitely a chance I could be reading this wrong, but I thought there was a reference to gathering cost inclusion. And I don't know if you have it, Mr. Summers, or not, but I'm looking at, I think there's a couple places, one being tab 1.3 on page 1 of 2.
Yeah. And so let me explain kind of how this happened. When we are preparing the pass-through, we get from the Wexpro company, we get their forecast of the operator service fee. And there's a lot that goes into that one number for the operator service fee. And it was the first time that we'd included Wexpro 2 costs in the pass-through. And so there was a lot of back and forth between us and Wexpro to make sure that everything was included in there that we needed. One thing that we wanted to be able to show in the pass-through, though, in that last case, was we wanted to be able to show a gathering, how much the gathering would be for those Wexpro 2 volumes. So they had said that that gathering amount was included in their operator service fee. And so what we did is we backed it out of the operator service fee total and included it here on Exhibit 1.3. So we thought we were doing that right. And then this time, when the division's data request came through, Wexpro started comparing line by line to figure out why there was an increase, and the gathering had not been included in that last case. So we do show an amount for gathering, but we mistakenly backed that out of the operator service fee in order to show it on this line. So it's there's just no gathering in there.
Okay, so neither in the last case nor this case?
In this case, they did include it.
You mean in this case, meaning the 1457.09, meaning the last pass-through, is that what you mean?
So I'll clarify. In 1405.709,
which was the last.
Which was the last pass-through case, there were no gathering costs included in that. Mm-hmm. In this case, those gathering charges in docket 1405.7-22, those gathering charges are included in this docket.
Okay.
So just we showed it an amount for that, but we had also removed it from a place where those costs hadn't been included.
So they are in this one then?
They are included in this docket.
Okay, all right. That's a helpful clarification. Okay, so now going back to Mr. Wilwright, so I think we've cleared up the gathering. On the compression issue, my understanding in the original analysis that was performed by the division and the hydrocarbon monitor in the Trail acquisition case, and that was a lot of 1457.13, I think that was right. That assumed no inclusion of compression costs or values. So I guess my question is, if that was the assumption then, can you help me understand how, if they were in and they remain in, I guess my question is, why is that a factor contributing to the significantly, I'm using the word significantly higher, that's the office's the division's characterization. Why is that a factor contributing to that, those higher costs? Does that make sense? Are you following what I'm saying?
Let me see if I can explain if this answers your question. We were looking at in the filing, it identifies the cost for production from Wexpro 2 significantly higher than we had anticipated. And so we went back to look at the application when it was originally approved for Wex Pro 2 and looked at some comparisons between those two and noticed that they were significantly higher than we had anticipated that they would be. And we wanted an explanation of why they were so much higher. Mm-hmm. So we issued a data request to the company, and they explained that in the initial approval, they assumed that compression would be there, which would generate higher volumes and reduce the cost.
Okay. And maybe I'll turn to Mr. Summers. So I could be missing something here, but the testimony I saw was that there was compression was not, but it could potentially be included at some point, but in terms of the initial analysis, compression was not a factor or was not factored in. Help me clear it up, I guess.
So in the original filing for the Trail acquisition, it was assumed that compression would be installed.
At some point.
I believe it was from the very beginning. It was from the initial application assumed compression mm-hmm. on those volumes. It might be helpful to look at this kind of on a timeline, because that was in the initial application for that Trail acquisition. As that docket went on and the proceedings went on, it was decided that there would be a 65% cap placed on the Wex Pro 2 production. And so what you've got is Wex Pro, in order to not get over that 65% amount, they have decided not to put compression in right now, because if they do install compression right now, it will lower the cost per decatherm, but it will also produce too much gas.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So they would be over that 65%. So it was included in the original application, but now that they're trying to manage to that 65% level, it does increase the cost until that compression goes in. They're anticipating that compression will go in mid-2015, and at this point, they're forecasting that the price will come right back down to where they had initially forecast it to be.
Okay, so let me see if I can rephrase it, make sure I get it. So in the original Trail unit acquisition docket, the testimony, again, that I saw was that it was not included in the analysis, but there was the potential that it could. In other words, it was almost like, this is what it is, but it could be even higher volumes if compression was used. Is that your understanding, or?
No, my understanding, and maybe Mr. McCain might want to jump in here, but
yeah, why don't we just take a second why don't we go ahead and do? Is that okay with you, Ms. Clark? Or
yeah,
do you want to go ahead and introduce your witness?
Mr. McKay is well qualified to answer these questions, okay, as he was more deeply involved in that sure. docket.
Okay, Mr. McKay, do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
And do you want to go ahead and just introduce him for the record and his position, et cetera? I know we all know him here, but just for the...
Mr. McKay, could you just state your name and the position you hold at Questar Gas for the record?
I am Barry L. McKay, and I'm Vice President of Regulatory Affairs and Energy Efficiency.
And were you involved in the previous docket we've been discussing today?
Yes, I was involved with the initial approval of the Wex Pro 2 properties, and I've also been involved with the preparation of this pass-through docket.
Thank you. He's available for questions.
Okay. So, and again, I apologize if I'm fumbling on this, but again, what I'm really, just so you know, so we're not, you know, hiding any balls here, what I'm looking at is the division's testimony from that case. And I'll just read you the Q&A. I don't know if you probably don't have it in front of you, but it just says, are there any other, and this is, again, this was a confidential document, but I'm not going to read any of the confidential portions, but it says, are there any other items to be considered as part of the evaluation? And the answer is yes. The projections of the company and my analysis use a conservative estimate of production in future years. additional production could be realized in future years if Wexpro adds compression or if well production is greater than forecast. These events would reduce the cost of service production and would be a greater benefit to ratepayers in the future. This would be similar to the ratepayer benefit that's occurred from the original Wexpro production. So I guess from that, I understood that the analysis did not include compression, but that was a potential.
From that testimony, I think that's what we would assume.
Okay.
I think what we learned in the division's work and in the responses that were provided to them in this docket, and their questions were directly passed through to Wexpro, and Wexpro was the responder on these. So we are providing information that they provided, that it sounds like that understanding is in conflict to what is now being presented, and that is that there was actually volumes assumed from the beginning that related to compression in that field at the time that the company made the filing. I can see why their analysis could have included that testimony, because as discussions went along, I think it became apparent to Wexpro and others that they wouldn't necessarily be able to do the compression immediately, but our original numbers had assumed that in the filing. And so there's not great clarity as to the timing of it. The division's work and the Wexpro's response in this case have clearly pointed out that now that compression is not included, hence we don't have the volumes that helped bring down the cost per decatherm. And it is clarified that what was originally filed in our Trail 2 application did have those in there. So that's the difference in it. That this understanding came from it is essentially the understanding that I think got a little blurry in all of our minds, because we didn't necessarily remember that that's what it was originally filed at, but instead, based on the cap that was put in that case, they no longer were going to be able to produce at those volumes to try to make that cap. So that's a little bit of timing and which picture in time that we're focusing at that created, I think, some different understanding on this same issue.
Okay, I appreciate it. And I mean, from the commission perspective, I mean, I'm not trying to, again, you know, we're just trying to, you know, our analysis is based, or our information is basically based upon the division's memo. So we're just trying to get a better understanding of kind of, you know, the factors driving the significant increase in costs as projected. Were there any other evaluations, ultimately that went into the determination that approval was warranted for these, for the approval of the application? Besides those two issues, the compression, I guess, and the gathering costs?
No.
Oh, you're still?
Brief,
yeah, absolutely, yeah. Okay, are you ready to go? Okay,
yeah.
We're back on the record.
As part of the audit process that we were going through, that I mentioned in my summary, the division has the responsibility to audit these specific items and individual entries in the 191 filing. We are in the process of going through those, and when we have some additional time, we will look at these issues and look at the magnitude of the difference between the original projections and what was as filed today.
That's helpful, and that also is a perfect entree into my next question, which is, from the division's perspective, you know, what is your understanding or position with respect to, if the commission approves this application today on an interim basis and ultimately they're made final subject to an audit, what is the division's position of when the commission would have the opportunity to review the company's decisions to manage the two factors you've talked about today and anything else you've identified to, I guess, essentially drive the least cost result for the benefit of ratepayers. I mean, will that occur? Are we doing that today, or is that going to occur as part of the audit process, I guess?
Well, I would, the final recommendation will come after the audit is completed.
Okay. So that is the ultimate, you know, once you'll do a prudence recommendation in terms of management, et cetera, that,
yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So this is just again for interim. Okay. That makes sense. And I guess as a follow-up to that question, is it the division's understanding that that prudence evaluation would also include a potential decision on the company's part of whether to sell or to shut in this cost of service production?
Yes, as part of the WexPro 2 agreement, there are specific calculations on when it's appropriate to sell cost of service gas production, and they would follow those guidelines.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. I think that's all the questions I have for you now. If it's okay, we'll just leave you sworn in because in case you're the witness for other, and if there's other additional questions. Let me turn now to Mr. Martinez of the office. Regarding to my questions to the division addressing, you know, the prudence review of the factors, you know, we've talked about, and also just the general, I guess, management decisions. Do you disagree or have a different opinion with respect to the division's characterizations of when prudence review would occur?
I was in discussions with the division as well as the company mm-hmm. a couple weeks ago, I guess, in this docket, and we discussed these very items. I think one of the things that came out of it was, as Mr. Summers explained, and as Mr. Wheelwright has testified, that we were concerned about those same things, but it was resolved in such a way that with the audit would come out whether or not, due to the cap that's placed on the production, that would come out through the audit process. And so at the time, we did not feel that it was necessary for us to file anything or continue discussion on that because we felt like that would come through that audit process.
Okay. So the office agrees, it sounds like, that ultimately the audit process will be the time, and ultimately the recommendations that come out of that will be the time for the commission to review prudence and make an ultimate determination.
Yes, as well as and how that meets the cap requirement under the agreement, yes.
And I think, and I need to jump back to Mr. Wilbry, but I think I heard you say that the office's position was that approval of this application would be just and reasonable public interest. Did you say that? Or I don't want to put words in your mouth, but is that your position?
Yes.
Okay.
Until we complete the audit.
Yeah, okay. But for purposes of approval on an interim basis, that's
yes.
the, okay.
That's correct.
And just for clarification, yes. At least what I thought I heard is you asked him if the office's position, and he was speaking to the division.
Yeah,
position.
let me go back. I apologize. I don't mean to, I know it's hard sometimes when we're mixing a lot of different witnesses, but is it the division's position that approval of these rates in this application today on an interim basis would be just and reasonable in the public interest?
Yes, it does.
Okay, and so now let's turn to Mr. Martinez. Is it the office's position also that approval of this application with the rates would be on an interim basis would be just and reasonable in the public interest?
Yes.
Okay, that's it. Okay, sorry about that confusion. Okay, so why don't we go ahead and turn to Questar. If it's all right, I'll just leave Mr. McKay sworn in case he needs some further clarification, but these will be directed to Mr. Summers.
Mr. Summers is available to be sworn.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. Oh, well, you know, he's actually still
sworn. I'm sorry,
sworn.
Mr.
That's okay,
Stevenson.
Yeah, we're all sworn, I think, except for Mr. Jordan.
Jordan Stevenson will be speaking
okay.
to the next two dockets.
Okay, great. Well, remind me to swear in Mr. Stevens.
Oh, okay.
Okay, thank you.
A lot of swearing going on.
Okay. So let me, since we're in the same line of questions, Mr. Summers, you know, with respect to, you know, the commission's evaluations of, you know, the factors we've talked about here today, and also just again the management decision of whether to sell or shut in, is that what is the company's take on that, I guess, with respect to when that would occur?
There is, and Mr. Wheelwright talked about it, that there is a date certain that that those volumes will be analyzed. We're constantly looking at whether or not we should sell or shut in, or at least during the summer we are. And that report is due, I believe that's on the IRP year, is how we are measuring that. And so the IRP year runs from June till May, and then after that is when it would be reported on how much is sold or shut in.
So ultimately, if the commission, and I'm just kind of mimicking again what I heard the division say, which is that ultimately when the division audits and makes recommendations, that they'll make recommendations not only with respect to the, you know, gathering, the other factor, but also that those, you know, shut in versus sell decisions at that time. And at that point, when the commission reviews that and those recommendations, that's when that prudence review of the management will occur. Is that?
That's correct.
Okay. Did you I see. Mr. McKay, yeah, feel free, you're sworn in.
If I could add just for some clarity on that. We're talking about selling of cost of service gas. And from the stipulation that came out of the Wexport 2 property, the trail unit property, there's actually two different portions in that settlement that talks or anticipates the sale of cost of service gas. One of them is the period of time that exists before the 65% cap kicks in, and that will kick in for the IRP year beginning of July of 15 and running through May of 16. So that's when it will begin. So up until that point in time, so from right now today, or really even from the point that the commission approved that stipulation, all the way through the remainder of 2014 and all the way up through June of 15, Questar Gas is responsible for looking at the current market price of gas and determining whether or not the cost of the gas that we can get out there, in other words, the purchase price less the cost of shut-in, is economical for us to choose to shut in or to sell. And that is absolutely what I think I've been hearing us talk about, that the division would weigh in on and the office would, and we'd champion the cause of why we have done that. In fact, we agreed in the stipulation that we would provide a report of that by month of what we had done as far as, when I say done, we have the opportunity to choose each day or each month to be selling or not during the time that we, quote, could not be putting it into storage or be using the gas ourselves. Also, by commission order, as it relates to that specific aspect of determining the percentages in the IRP docket, this commission said, hey, we want all the parties to get together and make sure that we're on the same page as to how we'll be calculating that 65% and show that what that calculation is. And we have all just received that order here in the last little while, and we will need to be doing that. But then, following the kicking in of the 65%, which starts in July 1 of 2015, there will still be the opportunity for gas to be sold. Okay, and we, Questar Gas, have the opportunity to encourage Wexpro in the management of that. And so I still think that it will be reviewed and analyzed and how it's sold, but it will be incumbent upon Wexpro to be choosing to sell or have their agent sell the gas at that time. Well, right now, that rests with Questar Gas. I don't know if that helps with the clarification, but I knew we were talking about two different opportunities to be selling, and we are realizing as Questar Gas that we are responsible for that right now. We know the division ought to be reviewing it, will be reviewing it, as well as the office, and we think that that is within this test period that's laid before the commission, and actually some of it hasn't happened yet, so it's hard for them to know what actually has, but that's what they'll be doing as their review of this docket.
No, that's very helpful. I appreciate that explanation. So it just sounds like that ultimately this is still, you know, I mean, there's two different, I guess, time tranches of but this period right now until that time, it's under Questar's control, but that will be still those management decisions will be subject to review, etc. Okay, that's
yes.
Extremely helpful. Thank you. Beyond, and I'm back to Mr. Summers now, beyond the explanations provided by the division and the memo, et cetera, about the increased forecast production cost for Wexpro 2 gas. Is there any other further explanation that the company wants to add or clarify, et cetera?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, okay. Okay. So I just had a few clarifying questions. This is on Exhibit 1.5 of the application. And essentially what I'm referring to there is that the peak day demand allocation factor in footnote one, it's the commission's understanding that and that the decatherms, the 1,302,881 used in this application should correspond to the peak day demand presented in the IRP. Is that?
That's correct.
Okay. It looks like they're not the same. Can you help me explain, I guess, maybe the discrepancy? One is the 1,302,881, and I think the IRP, it's 1,286. Is there?
I don't have the backup with me. I know that we do.
If you want to take
I believe it's just going to be a different year. The 1,286 is probably the peak for the 2013-2014 heating period. What we're using now, represented by the 1,003,000, is the heating season for 2014-2015.
So it's just a test year difference.
It's a test year difference.
So it's just is the new test year, is that just not, I guess, that's not something that's been presented, I guess, yet in the IRP because it's a different.
Yeah, what we always do when we file these pass-throughs is we want to use the peak day that's in effect for the January in the test period. So we would be using the January 15 peak.
Okay.
And the 1,286 would be for the prior January.
Okay, that's helpful. Okay. And I promise I've only got a couple more here.
Oh, that's fine.
In the trail unit acquisition application, it looks like 80 wells were identified, but in this application table 1.1, it looks like only 75 are listed as producing. Is there an explanation as with respect to those other five wells? And whether or not they're producing, I guess.
That, I don't know off the top of my head. I hadn't counted them, to be honest with you. That's something I'd be happy to check on that.
Okay.
And figure out those.
And again, this may be something that just, just kind of in terms of notice for, maybe something to look at in the audit, but that's fine.
I will say, that what we use, we show the historical production in Exhibit 1.1, and we really use that for purposes of the pass-through. We use that historical production to calculate an average royalty rate.
Okay.
So for purposes of calculating the royalty rate in the pass-through, the five wells probably wouldn't affect the royalty rate very much. For accuracy's sake, we will check on that.
Okay. And just for reference, where I'm getting that 80 from, the 80 wells is from the, and again, it's on yellow paper, but I don't believe this is, I don't see anything redacted on here for this confidential, but this is out of Exhibit C of the application in docket 13-057-13. So just for reference, that might be helpful.
Thank you.
Okay. The question regarding also again back to the Trell acquisition application, and this is Exhibit G, footnote 3. It mentions a significant decrease in water disposal charges due to an installed evaporation pit. Do you know if this occurred, the installation of the evaporation? And maybe this is a question for Mr. Hold on, let me ask, is this confidential? Okay.
No.
Do you want me to, is this a question for Mr. McKay? Okay. Yeah, the question is, did that occur? Did those? Yes.
The evaporation ponds were completed, and the impacts of reduced costs and savings from that have been reflected in those costs, and we're happy that it happened.
Okay, perfect. So they're included in this app. Okay, that's helpful. Okay. All right, I think we'll just keep the witnesses sworn in, but why don't we go ahead and move on to the next application, which is docket number 14-057-23. This is Questar's application to amortize the conservation enabling tariff balancing account. I'll go ahead and turn to Ms. Clark again, since this is their application.
The company would call Mr. Stevenson, and he's prepared to be sworn in now.
Okay, perfect. Do you want to go ahead and raise your right hand? Do you solemnly swear that the testimony you're about to give is the whole truth and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Stevenson, can you please state your name and business address for the record?
It's Jordan Stevenson, 333 South State, Salt Lake City.
And what position do you hold with the company?
I'm a senior regulatory affairs analyst.
Did you participate in the preparation of the application in this docket?
Yes.
Do you have any corrections to this application?
No.
Could you please summarize the relief the company is seeking?
Yes. In docket number 14-057-23, the application of Questar Gas Company to amortize the conservation enabling tariff balancing account, the company proposes to amortize the August 2014 under-collected balance of $11,559,443. This under-collection amounts to a $1,387,230 increase in the amount that is currently being collected through the conservation and enabling tariff. This change in the rate will result in a $1.42 or 0.19% annual increase to the typical general service customer's bill. The company is requesting that this proposed change be made effective November 1st, 2014. This concludes my summary, and I'm available for questioning.
Before we make you available for questions, let me ask you one more. Do you adopt the contents of the application and attached exhibits as your testimony today?
Yes.
The company would move to have those admitted.
Is there any objection?
No objection.
Thank you.
They're received. Hey, you know, it's okay. Sometimes we don't, people have attorneys that have to do their own lawyering, so that's fine. You're doing fine.
Thanks.
He is now available for questions.
Great. Ms. Schmidt?
No questions.
Mr. Olson?
No questions.
Okay. I just have, I guess, just a couple quick follow-up questions. You're going to get off easy on, like, Mr. Summers today in terms of the
I appreciate that.
Quality, thank you. So you can switch next time.
Thank you.
So the 191 account, which you talked about, it's collected based upon actual volumes. Actually, never mind. This is not your question. This is Mr. Wilwright's question. I apologize. And I apologize also that we have not allowed you guys to give your summary yet. I'm jumping way ahead. Let's put a pin on that. There's no questions for Mr. Stevens, it sounds like. Is it Stevenson or Stevenson?
Stevenson. Okay. Yes.
I apologize.
You.
Let's turn to Ms. Schmidt for her witness, and then we'll take things in order here today.
Thank you. The division calls Mr. Douglas Wheelwright as his witness, and Mr. Wheelwright remains sworn in. Mr. Wheelwright, do you adopt your prior testimony regarding your place of employment, address, title, and full name?
Yes, I do.
On behalf of the division, have you participated in the docket 14057-23?
Yes, I have.
Could you please briefly describe what you have done for the division in this docket?
We reviewed the filing of the information, reviewed the calculations as presented by the company.
Do you have a summary to give?
Yes, I do.
Please proceed.
Docket number 1405723, known as the CET, or Conservation Enabling Tariff, asks for commission approval to amortize the August 2014 overcollected balance of $11.6 million and adjust the CET component of the distribution non-gas or DNG rate. The division has reviewed and supports the application and the calculation submitted by the company. In the previous filing under docket number 1405710, the company was amortizing a larger overcollected balance of $12.9 million. Amortizing the lower amount reduces the calculated credit for each customer and represents an increase in the CET rate. If this docket is approved, the typical GS customer will realize an increase in their annual bill of $1.42. And that concludes my summary.
Is it the division's testimony that the resulting rate is just and reasonable and in the public interest?
Yes.
And is it the division's testimony that this would be adopted on an interim basis, that the division requests the commission to adopt this on an interim basis?
Yes, that's correct.
Mr. Wheelwright, do you adopt the division's memorandum, which you helped prepare, as your testimony in this docket?
Yes, I do.
Any changes or corrections to that?
No changes.
With that, the division requests the admission of its memorandum dated October 17th, I believe. Yes, October 17th. And that memorandum is a memorandum which combines the division's recommendations regarding the pass-through docket, the conservation enabling tariff docket, and the low-income energy assistance rate.
Thank you. Is there any objection to receipt?
No objection.
No objection.
With that, it's received. Thank you.
Mr. Wheelwright's now available for questions.
Thank you. Ms. Clark?
I don't have any questions.
Mr. Olson?
No, Your Honor.
Okay, great. Mr. Olson?
Your Honor, the office would again present Mr. Martinez as its witness. Mr. Martinez, has there been any change in your employment status since you last testified 10 minutes ago?
I sure hope not.
Okay.
No.
Did you participate in the office review of the 14-057-23?
I did.
And did you prepare any kind of memorandum?
No, sir.
What is the office's position regarding the appropriateness of the request from the company?
As I reviewed the document that was, the application that was forwarded by the company, reviewing the mechanism and how it's designed to work, in essence, it looks like it's working the way it should. So I didn't have anything to add in this docket to this proceeding.
Thank you. That concludes Mr. Martinez's testimony. He's available for questions.
Any questions?
No questions.
I guess one question for me. So is it the office recommendation for approval of this application?
Yes, it is.
Okay. All right. So now that we've gone in the right order, I appreciate you guys keeping me in line. I've got a little jet lag, so I appreciate it. Let me turn back to Mr. Wheelwright for a question. I was starting to give Mr. Stevenson, but is it Stevenson, okay. It is actually intended for Mr. Wheelwright, which is, so the 191 account, it's collected based on actual volumes.
Correct.
Let me ask you this. Why does the division support using weather normalized values in collecting the CET amortization rate, or does it, I guess?
I believe that was the way it was approved by the commission.
Okay. Do you have any concerns, or is the division conducted any evaluation of whether the use of weather normalized values affects bills for customers who are not weather normalized?
I haven't done any evaluation on that.
Okay, that's all the questions I have on that. So unless there's anything else with respect to, Mr. McKay.
Maybe just add, yeah, in support of what Mr. Wheelwright put forward, this 191 account related to the CET is to collect distribution non-gas revenue that is different than what we were allowed. In some instances, we collect more. In some instances, we have collected less. But it is identified to amortize the difference between what we're allowed or not. The majority of all of Questar Gas's customers on the general service are billed using a weather normalized. And so it was our original intent in the application to reflect what the majority were. But you do have less than 2,000 or 3,000 customers that have chosen differently. So the commission's question is correct in saying, hey, is this different than maybe what those 2,000 or 3,000 might have identified? And as it relates to the weather normalization of what may or may not have happened in that CET, they could have a concern. But the CET collects the difference or summarizes the difference on more than weather normalized data, if that makes sense. In other words, there are usages in per customer that have nothing to do with weather that is also captured in that CET balance. Hence the reason why the company didn't want to go out and actively encourage people to use less of their product that could have nothing to do with weather, but we could be doing, and that's much of what the balance is that's included in that conservation enabling tariff.
That's helpful. I appreciate the further explanation. Thank you. Okay, anything further on the CET application? Okay, why don't we go ahead and then we'll move on to our last docket for today, which is the docket 14-057-24, and this is with respect to Questar's low-income tariff. Ms. Clark?
The company would again call Mr. Stevenson, okay, who remains under oath.
Right.
And so far as we all know, remains employed in the same capacity by the company.
That's good. It's good to know we all have a job.
For now.
Until we leave.
Mr. Stevenson, was the application in docket number 14-057-24 prepared? Did you participate in the preparation of that docket?
Yes.
And do you have any corrections to that application?
No.
Could you please summarize the company's request for relief there?
Yes. In docket number 14-057-24, the application of Questar Gas Company for a tariff change and adjustment to the low-income assistance slash energy assistance rate, Questar is proposing to make small changes to the energy assistance rate so that the company is collecting the commission-approved $1.5 million annually, and the company is also proposing to maintain the annual energy assistance credit at $61.50 per qualifying customer per year. The proposed change in rates will result in a penny decrease in the typical customer's annual bill. The company is requesting that this proposed change be made effective November 1st, 2014, and this concludes my summary, and I will allow my attorney to make me available for questioning.
Mr. Stevenson, do you adopt the contents of the application and attached exhibits as your testimony today?
Yes.
He is now available for questions.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Schmidt.
No questions.
Mr. Olson?
No questions.
Okay, this time I'm going to do it right. Ms. Schmidt, you're...
May I also seek to have that application and exhibits admitted? I apologize.
I thought I did it right. So is there any objections to receipt of that application into evidence?
No objection.
I'm sorry, I was speaking with my
client. Sorry. Ms. Clark requested a receipt into evidence of the application for this docket, and so I was asking.
No objection.
Okay.
Thank
with
you.
With that, it's
my
received.
My apologies.
No problem. That's fine. Ms. Schmidt.
Thank you. The division's witness in this docket is, again, Mr. Douglas Wheelwright, who remains sworn. Mr. Wheelwright, could you briefly describe your participation in the low-income energy assistance rate docket?
Yes, we have reviewed the information as presented by the company and participated in meetings with the company on this docket.
Did you prepare and assist in the preparation of the division's memorandum dated November 17th, 2014 that was filed in this docket?
Yes, I did.
Do you have any changes or corrections?
No.
Do you have a summary?
Yes, I do.
Please proceed.
Thank you. In docket number 14-057-24, is a request to adjust the low-income assistance component of the DNG rates while maintaining the current annual amount of assistance available to qualifying customers at $61.50. The Vision has reviewed and supports the application and the calculations as submitted by the company. The effect of the proposed rate on a typical GS customer will be an increase of 1 cent, or decrease of 1 cent in their annual bill. In summary, the Division supports and recommends the rate changes requested in dockets 1457, 22, 23, and 24. With the exception of the low-income docket, the proposed rate should be approved on an interim basis in order to allow additional time for the Division to complete the audit of the individual entries in the respective accounts. While each of the dockets have been presented independently, the Division has completed a summary of the combined impact of the proposed changes on customer rates. If all three dockets are approved, a typical GS customer will see a net decrease of approximately $21.07, or a 2.75% reduction from the rates currently in effect. The division believes that the requested changes are in the public interest and represent just and reasonable rates.
The Division requests that its memorandum in this docket, dated October 17th, 2014, be admitted into evidence.
Is there any objection to
this? No.
No objection.
Mr. Wheelwright is now available for cross and questioning from the Commission.
Thank you. And the documents received.
Thank you.
Any questions from Ms. Clark?
I have no questions.
No questions.
Mr. Olson. Okay. With that, Mr. Martinez. Oh, sorry, Mr. Olson. Sorry about that.
Maybe be a lawyer now.
Why not? The office would, again, have Mr. Martinez as their witness for docket number 1405-7-24. Mr. Martinez, did you assist in the office's analysis of the submission from Questar Gas on docket 1405-7-24?
Yes.
And did you prepare any kind of written memorandum?
No.
Do you have any additional testimony you would like to provide or analysis you'd like to provide at this time?
At this time, I would just like to indicate that I reviewed the documents that were provided by the office. I met with the Division and other parties, as well as the company, to discuss this low-income rate change. And as I read through the documents and from the discussions we had with the company, they are consistent. The document is consistent with what we had agreed to. And so in reviewing this, the office recommends that the Commission accepts the company's proposal at this time in this docket.
Thank you. And does the office believe that these are just and reasonable charges on this portion?
Yes.
We would submit it.
Any cross for Mr. Martinez?
No questions?
This is a question I frankly don't know if I have an answer to, but getting back to the weather normalization collection, and maybe I don't know if this is a question for the Division or the company maybe, but is the low income also weather normalized like the CET?
I will say there is no adjustment to the revenue that we received based on the rate we have for that low income after the fact based on actual weather. It is based on normal weather that has been projected by Decatherm. So,
okay.
The question clarification, you want to know how we're applying the rate.
I just had a question of whether there was any weather normalization factor at all in that rate at all.
I think what Mr. Stevenson is pointing out is that we always summarize what we actually send out. Now, the question is I think you're wanting to know how do we apply this rate that you're approving. Do we apply it to weather normalized volumes that are done on a monthly basis for those that are billed on a weather normalized basis? And that answer is yes.
Okay.
For those who have chosen not to be weather normalized, will receive that rate based on their actual usage. Those that are weather normalized will be billed that rate based on their temperature adjusted volumes.
That's helpful. And I assume the same explanation is the same for, you know, the as you, we discussed in the CET, right?
That is correct with the CET also.
Okay. All right. I'm assuming since this is, we have a requested effective date of November 1st, that there's a request for a bench ruling. Is that?
We would appreciate that, yes.
Why don't we go ahead then and take a bit of a recess, and we'll be back shortly. Thanks.